The song fits the message. Thank the Lord for the song. God still answers prayer in this world. We started into a series of messages of in this world. And I'm encouraged that God is still on his throne and he is still hearing prayer and he is still answering prayer in this world. The first little message had to do with we are of this world, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And the second message was concerning our positive impact in this world and how that Jesus was sent into this world, but he then sends you and me into the world. Thank the Lord. So this morning, our little title is going to be prayer or praying in this world. I have some definitions that came from Crudence, and I'd like to just briefly give those as a little foundation. We know what prayer is. If you have been saved, you understand what prayer is. But it's important for us to be reminded of prayer and how to pray. So prayer is the offering up of our desires to God for things lawful and needed. You see, we've got to include that. It can't just be, I'm just praying for anything I want. It has to be lawful and needed. And it is to obtain our request through the mediation of Christ. In other words, we need to always pray with the name of Christ. And we also need to praise and honor God. Our prayers need to praise and honor God. So that's something that I just read. And there are ways that you and I can pray. We can pray mentally. We can be in a store and nobody else will know that you and I are praying. I have done that. I have been shopping for groceries and a burden of prayer come upon me to the point that I'm weeping. Have to go get a box of Kleenex, put it in my buggy. But that's prayer. Nobody else in that store knew I was praying, but it was a prayer that was coming from my heart. But we can have a vocal prayer also. And most of us are more familiar with praying out loud. So we have private prayers and we have public prayers. And those two are completely different. We may pray for things in private that we will not pray for in public. We carry burdens at home for our family, for this problem or that problem, and we don't necessarily spread it all out in public because we are praying privately. The scripture tells us to go into our closets. We pray for ourselves and we pray for others. And we pray for the receiving of good things, his divine favor. You see, we really don't have merit to ask the Lord for divine favor, but he tells us to. He says, I want you to prosper even as your soul prospers. So he accepts our prayers where we are asking for divine favor. And at the same time, prayer is for the preventing of evil things. So we pray against those things that we don't want to see happen. We pray against the works of the devil. We pray against the evil things of this world. And then the ways that we pray fervently, sincerely, constantly. Oh, you say, how can I pray constantly? It just simply says, pray without ceasing. Don't quit. Don't give up in prayer. You may not be praying 24 hours a day, but you may have the burden of prayer. And so then it says, pray with faith and pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. So those are just some thoughts that I read in the concordance. Thought it would be a benefit. So the title this morning is Prayer and Praying in This World. When we think of the disciples and how the disciples were called to follow Jesus, and they left their nets or their vocations and they followed Jesus. If you think about that and read between the lines, you will see that they learned from him. They had a span of 3 years that they followed Jesus. And I like to imagine a little bit what that was like in this world. Jesus walked with them and they walked with him, and he talked with them and they talked with him. They communicated with each other. They heard his teachings. When he was teaching the multitude, they were there. They heard his doctrine. But it wasn't just that. I believe that they witnessed and heard and maybe bowed down with him. And they heard Jesus pray. And maybe, I know one time, not to say anything about us, but Lauren and I were in our bedroom, not at our house, but somewhere else. And we were praying, and we thought we were praying quietly, but we were not. We were being heard. And so the place where we were said something about it. They said, actually, I was weeping in the prayer too. And they mentioned it and they said, we want to learn how to pray like that. I think the disciples were that way. I think they heard Jesus pray and they said, I don't know how to pray that way, but I want to learn. And so they came to Jesus and they said, teach us how to pray. He gave an example, and that's all it is. It is an example. It is called the Lord's Prayer. And yet the world likes to, how shall I say, depend on it as a prayer. And it is a prayer, but it's not the way that God is wanting his people to learn how to pray. It was just an example to follow. We don't take the same words and we don't say the same words every time we pray. Prayer is something that you should feel so comfortable to go before the Lord. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows the intentions of your heart. He knows everything about you and me. He knows our needs, even before we ask. And sometimes he answers before we ask. And yet he says, come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. And we don't want to take an example and make it our prayer always. We want to make our relationship with God, our communication with him, to be very personal, very real. It is blessed. It is something where God meets us. When we come before the Lord, he is coming before us. It's a two-way street. It's a mutual relationship. He loves it. He wants you and me to love communicating with him and finding grace and peace and hope and help. And when you cry out to the Lord and simply say, oh God, help me, that's a prayer. Oh God, you know my need. when I use the word of the Lord and I'm coming and I encourage you, use the word of the Lord in your prayer. And you come before the Lord and you say, Lord, you said in your word. Amen. Take hold of the promises. Hold them before the Lord. He loves to hear you and me hold his promises before him. So we come and we say, Lord, you said you would supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. Have you ever used that scripture when you come before the Lord? He loves it. He loves to be reminded that he's a rich God and he is able to meet every need of his children. Thank the Lord. So, there are churches out there that have what they call prayer books. And they have somebody has written this prayer and that prayer and they thought it sounded good and so they made it into a book. I've been to funerals of other churches, other ministers from other churches. I admit to you, when they pray, I watch them. If they have a book and their eyes are open, not that you cannot pray with your eyes open, but if I see them reading a prayer, I'm not in agreement with it. Amen. It's not in the spirit. God is calling for us to pray in the spirit, in this world, in this age, in this time. There is never going to be a time till the coming of the Lord that you and I will not need to pray. It is in this world that we need to pray. Now there's coming a time you will not need to pray. Do you know when that is? Well, if someone will get the song for me that says, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and look at the end of the last verse. I want someone to read it for me. I meant to bring it up and I didn't bring my songbook. But you can do it.
It's 169.
169.
What verse?
Last verse.
Soon the year's dark door.
Soon the year's dark door.
Shall be shut no more.
Shall be shut no more.
Life's tears shall be wiped away.
Life's tears shall be wiped away. That's not in this world. Our tears will still be in this world. Go ahead.
As the pearl gates swing.
As the pearl gates swing. And the gold harps ring.
I think I've got you the wrong song. It is.
Okay, wrong
song.
I'm
thinking
sorry.
169.
Sweet Hour of Prayer. That's the one I want. May I thy consolation. That was a good song though, brother. I was enjoying the words of it. Okay, Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height.
Okay.
I view my home and take my flight.
I view my home and take my flight. Now I'm leaving this world.
This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise.
This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise.
To seize the everlasting prize.
I'm going to get the everlasting prize.
And shout.
And shout.
While passing through the air.
While passing through the air.
Farewell.
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 Sweet hour of prayer. There's coming a day you will not need to pray. But while you're in this world, you must learn how to pray. You need to pray. You need to feel the need of prayer. And we don't need a prayer book. And we don't need somebody teaching us just a prayer that somebody else has prayed. Let's pray our own prayers. Let's get in touch with God for our own soul and for our own life. Thank the Lord. So, Let's see. I have probably too much here. That this is a subject that is endless. But I'm needing the Lord to compact it this morning. An act of prayer. It is approaching God the Father in faith and with confidence. Now, I've taught the congregation this from time to time, reminded them, and when I say it, I'm not trying to bring attention to anyone that happens to pray in this manner, but I think we need to learn the proper manner of prayer. I'm not condemning anyone that prays to Jesus. Do you feel like you need to pray to Jesus? I want to tell you the proper way is that you and I are to approach the Father. He is over Jesus. It is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and many people have to be taught how to pray. Many people are afraid to go to the Father. You need to have understanding that when we pray, we are praying to God the Father. But we can only come to God the Father through God the Son. And so we learn how to pray. We approach the Father. Don't be afraid. He's a God that is a precious, loving, heavenly Father. And He invites us, as we said in the beginning, to come boldly. Don't be afraid of the Father. He wants to be your heavenly Father. But He wants you to approach Him in a proper way. And you have to do it in the name of Jesus. So we're going to speak of the name of Jesus. God is the object of our prayers. But Jesus is the mediator. We go through Him. And when we do, this is what it's like. When I approach the Father and I say, Father, I come before you this day in the name of Jesus, invoking that name does something to His attention. It turns His attention toward you and your prayer. And I want to tell you what I think. I feel that as we name the name of Jesus in our prayers, it's like a sweet incense. And we have another song in our book that is, what is that other song on prayer? It slips my mind. But it speaks in that song as it being a sweet incense. And it rises. And when you and I come into a place and maybe someone has a candle lit in that room and it gets our attention because we're smelling something that is sweet and precious and it draws our attention. Well, what is that smell and where is it coming from? And we begin to find out it's this beautiful candle that it presents a real sweet smell in my house. But that's how it is when you and I come before the Father and we do it in the name of Jesus. It turns His attention. It's like a sweet incense. Thank the Lord.
That's number 169.
Oh, is that one the one you were singing? That's a good song. Let's see. What's the first verse of that song?
Prayer is the key.
Prayer is the key.
On the bending knee.
On the bending knee, but it can be anywhere. Yes.
To open the morn's first hours.
Oh, I want to tell you, you need to learn to pray in the morning. Don't go out and face your day without prayer. Oh, it is so important. Oh, there may be days that something happens and it hinders you from praying, but pray as you go. Keep your heart in tune with the Father in the name of Jesus. Go ahead.
See the incense rise.
See, there it is. The incense is rising from your prayer and it's drawing the attention of God.
See the incense rise to the starry skies.
Yes.
Like perfume from the flowers.
Oh, it's like a perfume. Think of your prayers as like perfume. It's getting the attention of the Father. Thank the Lord. So, we're going to establish this thought of being in the name of Jesus. It is a Bible doctrine. It is a doctrine of Jesus Christ. Now, as he taught his disciples, if you will look this up, you'll find that in the book of John alone, Jesus is teaching his disciples, it may not say it that way, but it's how it is, the importance of praying through his name. So I'm going to give you some of those scriptures this morning. You're familiar with them. We're just reminding us. And in another scripture says, Jesus said it. He said, "Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name." Before that, the prayers were made without invoking the name of anyone. Maybe just God. Maybe God was able to hear their prayers. He was Jehovah. He had many names. He had names that meant God with us. He had a name that meant God will supply. He had so many different names that they were familiar with. But then there came a name that was above all names. He designed it to be so. He ordered it to be so. He gave his only begotten son. And he didn't give his son in vain. He had a purpose. I want this name to be above every name. So heretofore, Jesus said, you didn't ask anything. But now, he says, ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. He is wanting us to learn these things that our joy may be full. Thank the Lord in this world, in this time. So one of the scriptures is John 14. Did I mention that it was five times? I think I did. Five times in the book of John did Jesus teach that you must do it in my name. And so it says, and Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me or but by me. Is that pretty plain? So when we pray, we must pray in Jesus' name. John 14 and 13, and I'm only going to give two. You can look them up sometime in your devotions. It said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, the disciples found out that this was a whole new way of praying. And that's why I think they had to be taught how to pray. And you and I have to be taught some of these principles that Jesus was leaving behind, that we will have success in our prayers. Don't you want to be successful in prayer? Yes. We don't want our prayers to be in vain. Actually, this is the secret to the power of prayer, is the name of Jesus. Don't forget that now. And, of course, I have to include this scripture, which comes from Acts 4 and 12. And it says, salvation is only through the name of Jesus. That's my words. But this is the word. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Take these scriptures and let them be hid in your hearts, that when you get down to pray, it will come up and remind you, you need to name the name of Christ before the Father. So when the word says or asks, anything whatsoever, what ye will, those are going to be common phrases in what his promise was. He gave this, and he says, now do this. He said, it shall be done. How many will believe it? We need to believe. And then the condition is for me to name the name of God's only Son. So I'm going to ask you this question. Are there right and wrong prayers? And are all prayers answered? What do you think? Okay. Question two. The answer is all prayers are answered. Well, you might say, well, all of my prayers haven't been answered. Yes, they've been answered. One way or another. It's either been yes or it's been no. So if you've prayed and nothing has happened, there's a third way also. God says, wait. It's not the right time. So God, the prayers are answered. He'll either say yes and give us our request, or he will say, no, that is not good for you. Or he will say, it is not my time, and you wait. So we can say that every prayer is answered. You will find which category your answer is in. And it is meant to encourage us that the enemy cannot accuse, the enemy cannot discourage or crush. It doesn't do you any good to pray. Your prayers are not heard. Your prayers are not answered. You can come back with an answer now. Yes, God answers my prayer. He has said no. One time there was a little girl that desired a beautiful doll for Christmas, and she prayed for it. The parents were very poor, did not have the money to get it. And Christmas morning came, and there was no doll. And the father was in some way almost ridiculing her faith. And so he said it to her. Well, I guess your prayer wasn't answered. And she said, no, it was answered. God said no. When you and I can have faith that even when God says no, and know that it is good for me, it's what's best for me. He knows what is good for you. And he will not give you something that you're asking for and it's not good for you. He will give those things that will work for your eternal good. He's watching. He's looking at your entire path of life. He can see down the road at things that you and I can't see. And he will say, if I grant this request, this person will, well, I'll give you my testimony. And our congregation has heard it. After I had the wreck and my arm was broken in such a way that it could not be repaired naturally. The bones were separated and healing on both ends, and the saints were fasting and praying that the Lord would heal my arm. And I thought I had faith for the healing of my arm. Now God knows our thoughts. And my arm was not healed. and could not heal. And the only alternative was to have a surgery and have a plate in my arm. I was disappointed in myself. And I did it. And our pastor at that time told me, you deal with God afterwards. If you feel like you failed, and here I want to tell you this. Any time you feel like you've made the wrong choice and you have failed in any way, run to the Father. He still has mercy and He still has help and He still has forgiveness. Thank the Lord. So I had the surgery and I did not hide it from the saints. And I don't believe it's good or wise to live a secret life where nobody knows what you're doing. Be open and honest, not only with yourself, but with God and with the people. And God will bless that. So I felt that I had failed God, and I came a day that the Lord worked with me and gave me His word and said, you can have salvation if you will. And I got down and I repented and I told the Lord, I said, I don't know exactly how I failed, but I'm asking you to forgive me. And the peace of God came back into my life. And a few months later, the Lord allowed me to face it in a different way. And I came before the Lord and I said, Lord, I cannot take another step for you until I know why you didn't heal my arm. And the Lord spoke to me as plainly as a man. So much so, I'm down on my knees praying and it sounded like an audible voice. I've never had an experience like it before or since. So much so, I turned around and sat down in the floor as though He were sitting right there. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, I could not heal your arm. And I said, well, Lord, why? He said, if I would have healed your arm, you would have taken pride in that kind of healing. And I could never have dealt with you about anything in your life again. You would have thought to yourself so holy. And as soon as the Lord said it, I knew it was true. It came to my mind and I just am embarrassed to admit this, but I had the thought and I knew what it was when the Lord spoke it. I didn't know what it was when I had the thought. Here I was in a cast and the saints were fasting and praying for me. And I said, oh, when I go to camp meeting and I raise, and it's this arm, when I raise this arm in song, and this is the arm I raise up most of the time, if you notice me, the camp is going to shout. I want to tell you something, that's pride. And I didn't know it was pride, but God did. God withholds healing sometimes because it's not good for us. He can't deal with us about our shortcomings because we're in a place we think we're holy. The Lord spoke it to me also. He said, if I would have healed you in spite of your pride, it would have been like the most unpopular boy becoming class president. He would not know how to handle it. You know, those things made me to understand where I was. Listen, take what God has for you as being the best thing for you. When we pray, there's another way for us to pray, and I'm going to give that to you. Let me see here. Lord, help us. Oh, I'll come back to that maybe. But I asked the question, are there right and wrong prayers? There are. There is a right way to pray, and there is a wrong way to pray. And we're going to establish this by the scriptures. Did you know that a wrong prayer, just adding in the name of Jesus, doesn't make it right? I hadn't ever thought of that, but the Lord brought it to my mind today. You can't just insert these words and make it right if it's a wrong prayer. On the other hand, you might be feeling like you're praying right and leaving out the name of Jesus, and it won't work either. So we have to learn what is a wrong prayer and what is a right prayer. And by the help of the Lord, oh, time is really going. We're going to try to at least teach that much this morning. So let's look at James, the fourth chapter. We're going to read verses 2-4. And it says, "Ye lust and have not." I'm just going to read only that part in verse 2. Skip down to verse 3. "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss." What is that? That's a wrong prayer. That's a wrong way to pray. And then it says, "that ye may consume it upon your lust." And verse 4, about the middle of verse 4, and we read this scripture in the first message that we gave, and it says, "the friendship of the world is enmity with God." It goes on and it says, "a friend of the world is an enemy with God." So when we ask in the wrong way, if we're asking to consume it upon our own lust, it's just me. It's something I want. It's something I'm contending for. I am maybe even demanding it. It's a prayer of the world. It's how the world would pray. The world is going to pray in their own lust. They're not going to be praying in a right way. We're going to find out now what is the right way. But I'm going to tell you this. If we pray in a worldly way, now listen to this, we will be seeking wealth. We have many people in this world that think that they can pray for wealth, and it's the right way to pray. We should be praying in the right way. Give it later. Some people are seeking health, prosperity, popularity, success. They're asking for ease and comfort. Now listen to this one. Fruitfulness in service simply for one's own pleasure or advancement. That's doing it in the lust of your flesh. If we walk after the flesh, we walk in darkness. We must walk in the light and walk in the Spirit. The Spirit lusts against the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. And if I'm praying as the world, I'll be seeking things that will just benefit me. It will just make me feel good. That's the wrong way to pray. Now let's talk about the right way to pray. First of all, we have to connect it up with the first message, that we are in this world and not of this world. He's called us to be a separate people in this world, yet he sends us into the world. So this scripture comes from 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 31. It says, "Whatsoever ye do, do all to the what? Glory of God." So when we pray, we must consider the glory of God in those things that we ask. Will this thing benefit me spiritually? Will this thing help me to make heaven? Will this thing that I am asking for be a glory to the Father? That's got to be some of our questions. And then Colossians 3:17, it says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. There it is. We could put in prayer, giving thanks to God and to the Father by Him. So we have to consider, are we glorifying the Father? That's number one. And then we have another, we have to consider the price that Jesus paid. He gave His whole life. He gave His life's blood. And in the Word of God, it's called atonement. For me to be saved, for you to be saved, we have to have faith in the shed blood. We have to believe in it. We have to believe the story is true. We sang a song this morning. I love to tell the story. And the last verse says, to those that know it best, seem hungering and thirsting. Can't think of the next part. Like the rest. I want to tell you, the saints of God should still be hungry, should still be thirsty for the Word of God. And we love to tell the story. We never get tired of it. It'll be the old, old story. It'll be the story that you and I have heard all of our life. The generations before us, it'll be the same story. But I want to tell you something. It will be because you and I believe in the shed blood. And we will want to honor Him. When we pray, we are coming before the Father to honor Him, to praise Him, to worship Him, to glorify Him. It is not all about us. It is about Him. Because He paid the price. God gave up His Son. He paid the price. The Son gave His life. He paid the price. And so you and I, we need to give glory, and it is due the name of Jesus. Now, I've had an experience very similar to the story I'm going to tell you. And I know it works. So listen to this story. It's a true story. There was a man, and he was of another religion. He was called Unitarians. I don't know if they're around today, but they might be. But nonetheless, the Unitarians did not believe in the atonement. He claimed to be religious. He didn't necessarily claim salvation. You see, there's a difference. You can have a religion, or you can have true salvation. So his wife was a believer, and she had a heavy burden that she prayed for her husband, for him to have true salvation. And so one night, the wife had gone to a prayer meeting, and no doubt those that she was praying with was praying for her husband. So he was at home, and the man became uneasy and miserable. And I'm really saying his words. He decided to go to bed before she came home, but he could not sleep. And the next morning he was miserable, and he got up. He was a judge, and he told his wife, I don't need breakfast. He said, I'm going on to my office. He sent all of his employees home. He went into a private room. And he was even more under conviction than the night before. Finally, he fell on his knees. And he asked God to forgive him. Sounds like a right prayer, doesn't it? It was a wrong prayer. No answer came. No peace. He would not say the words in the name of Jesus. Because he was a member of this religion that didn't believe in the atonement. And he prayed. And he prayed, begging God to forgive him. He was truly, he said, in agony of mind. You know, not too many people are in agony of mind today that need salvation. They just don't let their minds go there. He kept saying, "Oh God, forgive me my sins." No answer. At last, in desperation, he cried out and said, "Oh God, for Christ's sake, forgive my sins." And salvation came, and the man was saved, gloriously saved, and the peace of God flooded him. Do you see the principle now? I have prayed with one at an altar. Well, actually, others were praying with this person and could get nowhere. They could not believe that they were saved, even though they prayed that prayer, "Father, forgive me." So they called me down to the altar, and I go through the same thing they went through. But God put it in my mind. And I asked the question, "Are you asking it in the name of Jesus?" Well, no, they didn't know. When they prayed that prayer, they were saved. Do you see how important it is that we learn how to pray? Don't forget the name of Jesus in your prayer. I'm going to come down to some closing scriptures now. I want to turn to 1 John, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. And the little title over in my column next to this scripture says, "The Prayer Life." You and I need a prayer life, personal, that we're coming before the Lord. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. Now we've got the other little step here. We have to be a believer in the atonement. We have to believe in the name of Jesus. We have to believe that when I pray, I'm praying to the Father. But we've got to pray in His will. It has to be God's will. When Jesus was praying in Gethsemane, he prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done." For a true, successful prayer life, you've got to be subject to the will of the Father. And so it's our confidence. It's in our confidence. When we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. What a promise. It's, we sometimes forget. We get so caught up in our own prayer requests, in our own personal needs. And we've got to stop. We've got to stop and think, "Lord, what is Your will for my life in this thing?" Whatever it is. Because if we pray in the will of the Father, He'll hear us. Oh, you know, we preached a message a number of months ago, possibly, that if we delight ourselves in Him, He'll give us the desire of our heart. Delighting ourselves in the Lord is being subject to His will. And then the next verse says, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. But the foundation there is praying in the will of the Father. The next one is in the third chapter of 1 John, verse 22. And, oh, this is a good one, too. And whatsoever... Oh, let's read 21. It's very important. This one is vital to the success of our prayer life. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Now, just ahead of that, it says, if our hearts condemn us, when we come before God, God is greater than our hearts. And He knoweth all things. Keep in tune with your heart. Let your conscience be clear. Let your conscience be keen. Let the Spirit of God rule your conscience. Because if you come before the Lord and your heart is clear, you have confidence. And so then verse 21, beloved, no, verse 22, I've already read 21. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. Isn't that plain? He will hear us if we're asking in the will of the Father. But if we're keeping His commandments, He said we can have what we ask for as long as it's not being consumed of our own lust. As long as it is not a prayer of the world. And it says, I'll read it again. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things pleasing in His sight. Find out what's pleasing to God. Ask the Lord, teach me what is pleasing in Your sight. Oh, He loves to hear our prayers. He loves to grant our requests. I believe it, don't you? We need to be taught. So the final thought is, teach us to pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous that availeth much. God has a praying people. I believe that. I appreciate the prayers of His people. I appreciate the burden of prayer. In this, in which we have been praying for, this list, God's pleased. It's teaching us something. I think that God has ordered this list for you and me to carry a burden and to learn how to pray, to have a burden of prayer. I believe it has drawn our congregation closer together. We have something that is a common thread that is working in us. Go before the Lord for your own soul, though. I've cautioned the congregation, taught them in the past. You always pray for yourself first. Make sure your life is clear. You have no condemnation. Then you can come before the Lord with confidence and pray for others. Thank the Lord. You pray for me. I need the Lord to help me. Thank the Lord.